Thank you everybody for coming. Before we start, I need to say two things. First of all, I'm sorry for this dev room. I'll try to speak as loud as I can, but if you don't see the slides, they are available online. Second, this is a talk about databases. We are database researchers. So first of all, we don't know everything. Second of all, we might also not understand everything. But regardless, we hope to give you a different perspective about this important problem, which is how to store data securely using trusted execution environments as a technology. Sorry. Oh. So we are PhD students. We work at CWI Amsterdam. And specifically, our research focuses on secure databases. In particular, we do stuff like encrypted query processing, secure multi-party computation, data privacy, and so on. Here, our research question is how to protect data in use. In fact, it's very easy to protect data at rest. But we also want to hide it while it's being processed. Our example here is related to cloud. So nowadays, it is very common practice to outsource data management to cloud providers. But the thing is, we also need to protect information from people who have access to the servers and internal attacks. There are some techniques to analyze data while keeping it encrypted, but like homomorphic encryption, for instance. But unfortunately, this field doesn't yet have encouraging performance results. So we here need to look for something simpler and more efficient to protect our data while it's being processed. In this talk, of course, we're here. So we talk about trusted execution environments. And we want to employ them as a technology to ensure confidentiality and isolation of the data. But before we start with this, we need to first understand the different technologies and different techniques to split the components of a database system in a trusted execution environment. In this talk, we focus about IntelliJX. And for who didn't know, it's basically a series of hardware instructions to split memory in a secure and insecure part, where the secure part we're going to call enclave. And in the database field, IntelliJX, specifically the first one, is a very popular choice for development because it's the most mature one and there is the most research on it. But at the same time, there are some performance limitations to run workloads very typical for database systems. In particular, the biggest problem here is the limited page cache size, which is 128 megabytes in IntelliJX 1. That being said, we're going to explain here many different models to split our DBMS. We have the, does this work? We have the full DBMS split, which means that basically we're going to put all the database inside the enclave with just a very tiny layer of IO library to handle system calls. Then we have the middle DBMS split, which is something in between. It allows more fine-grained optimization and code splits. Usually, approaches just put the query execution engine inside the enclave, and everything else is going to stay out. And then we have the minimal DBMS split, where only the operators and the comparators are inside the enclaves, where with operators and comparators, I mean plus, minus, equal, and so on. Now, we have a general understanding of the different models. We can start with some practical examples. So here is a personal favorite. It's called StealthDB, and it's a Postgres extension. We have some Postgres people here. I'm very biased on this, but basically, StealthDB is employing the third model that I mentioned, which is the minimal DBMS split. So basically, it's only implementing operators and comparators. This choice was probably made because of the very limited memory that we can use. And so of course, there are some trade-offs. If we do not have the full DBMS, of course, there is more information leakage. For instance, people might be able to infer the size of the database and the operations that we are making inside the enclaves. And at the same time, even though the secure part is so limited, the performance is kind of bad. We are going to have here 5% to 30% overhead in transactional queries, where transactional queries are workloads that are very heavy in inserts and updates on current data. So yeah, so this is a very cool project, but still not quite what we would like to have if we are running actual real-world workloads. There are more examples here of other databases. We have a lot of implementations of SQLite, and They are, I think all of them are full DBMS split, but regardless, they add at least one or two orders of magnitude of overhead to the queries. We have a MariaDB kind of encrypted database, which is called Edgeless. I think I saw some people from Edgeless here, or it was at FOSDEM a few years back. And Edgeless is basically this database that is designed to run inside an enclave and uses MariaDB and RocksDB as storage. It also has encrypted authenticated data in disk and in memory as well, and encrypted network connection. So it's a very nice project. Then we have an implementation of Microsoft SQL Server. I'm sorry about this, it's not open source, I know, but unfortunately it's one of the most relevant works in the field because it actually implements the query engine in the enclaves and splits the data between sensitive and insensitive tables. So it's a very novel idea, but unfortunately it doesn't work because this kind of models also assumes a very big enclave size, and due to the limitations of EGX1, this is not really feasible in practice. And then we have one analytical engine, where with analytic, I mean doing analytics, so business intelligence workloads on a lot of data and historical data. And this is called ObliDB, and it implements Oblivious physical operator for analytical processing in the cloud. But yeah, once again, this is really, really slow because of the enclave size. So our contribution here is taking all of this that we have, and we noticed two things in here. First of all, that the big majority of these implementations on SGX1s are transactionals. And because analytical workloads really don't scale because of the volume of the data and the overhead called by last level cache misses and EPC swapping. And the second problem is that there is no research on SGX2. So SGX2 was released a couple years ago, and still all the prototypes that I mentioned were made for SGX1. I'm not saying they don't work, but I'm saying there are no benchmarks, there are no implementations that are specifically tailored for SGX2. So here, our contribution is to try and bridge the gap between efficient and secure analytical processing. To do so, we use our database, DuckDB. Disclaimer here, we are not affiliated with DuckDB. We are not paid by them. It's just that open source database that we happen to use because it's developed in our research center. So DuckDB is open source. It's embedded columnar analytical system. I'm sorry, there are a lot of buzzwords here. I'm going to explain that later. It's in C++ 11 without additional dependencies. And it's actually been ported to SGX1 in 2022 by Sam, our master's student. And before explaining what we did with DuckDB in SGX 1 and 2, I need to give you some fundamental concepts about database internals. We start here with column storage. So the difference between row and column storage is that basically data in column storage is stored in columns. Because if we do analytical workloads, we don't need usually all the columns that we have. We just need a few of them. So it is more efficient to store the columns all together such that we can only fetch what we need. And also, this kind of column format is also very much can very much benefit from compression, because usually there is a lot of correlation between the data, and our data is also huge. So we can definitely implement some sort of compression. And DuckDB specifically implements column level compression, where data is stored in column and then compressed. Now, we also need to talk a little bit about vectorized execution. This is similar to the CMD instructions that you probably know of, but apply to databases. So instead of performing operations to one row at a time, we perform it in batches. So instead of having a row, fetching it, elaborating it, and returning it, we do the same process with batches. So you can see this example, very, very simple query. In here, our function next is going to return many tuples rather than one. And we push only the relevant blocks of data up and down the query plan. And this is more efficient because we have less system calls, and we can also take advantage of the CPU more efficiently. Now, thank you for the attention. Now Lotte is going to explain you how we ported DuckDB to SGX.
Thank you, Ila. Okay, so before we go directly to SGX2 and how we did it, we first are gonna pay some attention to how it actually has been done to XGS1, because the master student, he ported DuckDB in two different ways. The first one is the full database management split, The main issue was here, of course, because of the low memory capacity, that not the whole database or not all the data would fit in the enclave. And the second issue here is that system calls are not